Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Horizons.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Horizons here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Pat Rice, and my co-host is with me this evening, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Good. We haven't been on air together for a while, so it's good to be back.
Yes, it is. Been a little bit lazy as of late, but I think that's going to change. I think we'll be a little bit more diligent with the show.
Yeah, well, I don't know if lazy is the right word, but busy, maybe just busy. So, but hey, really quick, everybody out there, thanks for tuning in with us, Paranormal Horizons. We don't really have any special guests this evening, although a friend of Paranormal Horizons will be joining us, Dave Harms, and he's in the queue right now, Jason, so I'm going to release that here in a second. And we're going to talk about some interesting things that are going on in the world right now. And I've got some tidbits of information. You've got some things, Jason. We're also going to give a recap of a great event coming up in Oregon City, Oregon, third annual Ghost Conference on April 10th, 11th, and 12th. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the speakers and things that are going on at that event.
Yes, should be exciting. I know I've got a couple news stories that are pretty interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and put Dave into the queue, Jason. Hold on a sec here. Hi, Dave. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. What's going on?
Well, hey, gosh, Dave, thanks for joining us kind of last minute.
Well, you gave me enough ample time this time.
Yeah, I gave you a day.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of curious as to what news stories we're talking about.
Well, we've got just some miscellaneous things happening in the world, Dave. So, and again, Dave Harms, host of Super Unknown, and I know that here and there you have that show again on the radio on KITC-FM. Thanks for joining us this evening. So, Jason, do you want to kind of start with some of your stuff this evening that you wanted to talk about?
Sure, we can get right into it. So I identified two news stories, and I think I'll just cover the first one. Maybe we can chat about it a little bit, and then I can talk about the second one. But the first news story that I came up with is the one that's been on the news everywhere and the one that everybody's been talking about. Now, it isn't really presumed to be a paranormal news story, but maybe if we dig into it a little bit deeper on Paranormal Horizons, we can maybe find some paranormal-ity. I don't know if even know if that's a word. But the first news story that I came up with was the big one, the Malaysian Flight 370, Boeing 777, that has been missing for a week. And as we all know, there is a massive search that has been turned up nothing. Now, they currently are kind of leaning in the direction that maybe the flight was possibly hijacked, and the reason that they are kind of leaning that direction is that during the flight, two systems were turned off at separate times. One is the ACARS flight management system. That system uses satellites to send signals back to Boeing, which basically tells them on the ground the condition of the aircraft. The other system that was shut off was the transponder, which allows radar to identify the airplane while it's in the air. Now, the reason I bring this story up is there haven't been a whole lot of instances where aircraft have just disappeared.
I know.
One of the things Well, you do have Flight 19 out there, which was several bombers that disappeared that back in the 40s or maybe it was the 50s that they never discovered. But one thing that is circulating out there, and I believe this is totally a conspiracy theory, is people are suggesting that the possibility of maybe the flight was abducted by aliens. Now, I don't know if that is possible, that maybe a UFO could have intercepted the aircraft.
Sorry, I think I just heard one, actually.
I know, right? So, interestingly, there have been a couple other instances where aircraft have gone missing. Most recently, outside of this, was back in the early 90s. It was either 1992 or 94 where it was in Africa, and a couple of the ground crew at an airport took off in a Boeing 707, and that 707 has never been found. So don't ask me how ground crew can fly a jumbo jet. But anyway, yeah, that one went missing. So the question remains, is it possible that it's at the bottom of the sea, or is something more going on, maybe a time warp? What do you guys think?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up just because of the fact, having a restaurant, naturally, people sit at the table and they talk about it. And so I think I've heard every conspiracy known to man, which is funny because that's what they are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've even had people say that, you know, they think that it was on purpose in order to get us to talk about it, to direct our attention away from something else that they're planning on doing, which is also interesting because one of the people missing on the flight, his partner, thinks the same exact thing. She was actually on one of the news channels, and she thinks that if we just wait, we're going to find out what they want. You know what I mean?
Was she related to one of the pilots?
No, she. You know, there's what, four Americans on there. I think it's her fiance or her boyfriend.
Okay.
And that's what she thinks. She thinks that something bigger is going on. You know, there's a reason. Some people think it was to divert our attention away from Russia and all that stuff going on. In the last couple of days, I think I've heard every conspiracy known to man on this whole entire thing, which is funny because today it got me kind of thinking about conspiracists. These people and all their theories, and the fact that, how do conspiracy theorists, how do they not know that this stuff isn't thrown out there by the government, and they're unknowingly working for the government in order to muddy up the water?
Yeah.
On everything, on anything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you think about, because 90% of those like websites and stuff like that, like blogs or these little news sites that none of us know about, and yet, you know, they always say that they're putting out the facts because they know what's going on. It's like, well, where do you guys even get this stuff? You know what I mean?
I know. You know, Dave, I'm kind of with you. It's like I've been talking to a lot of people about it, and right, I've got a page pulled up on the internet right now, the five craziest theories about the flight, and one of them is that if the Bermuda Triangle moved from, you know, off the coast of Florida, and it's over there, you know, in the Indian Ocean, and it was, you know, one of those bizarre things where a plane just disappeared into the Bermuda Triangle. So that's one of them. And, I mean, we could have a whole show just talking about the Bermuda Triangle because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's kind of the thing on that, though, and you know, a lot of that stuff has actually been found. Even like, you know, the whole group of planes that disappeared and stuff, you know, you hear things that, you know, that they found stuff, you know. D.B. Cooper, you know, same exact thing, theory behind it. But yet I saw a show a long time ago that was about how they found D.B. Cooper, and then I never saw the show ever again. And it's like, well, how come I never saw that before? How come everyone still thinks they haven't found the guy, but how come I saw a show that showed, I mean, it was a military guy, you know? They went into his house and stuff like that because his girlfriend tipped off. They found money that had the same numbers. There was a parachute in the closet, an open space behind it, all this stuff. But yet I saw the show once, and then it disappears, and I never see the show again. So it's like, it makes you wonder, you know what I'm saying? Like, why bury that? Which one is the truth now? Which one's the conspiracy? You know
what
I'm saying?
There's so much shadiness going on. And I hadn't heard, or it hadn't occurred to me what you mentioned about maybe it's just a distraction. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, this is a little bit off topic, but I've been reading a lot online, and I read that the FBI is hijacking people's webcams on, like, their laptops and stuff. And, I mean, there's so much just backroom, shady, nefarious activity going on. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's a lot more to this. But I don't believe that. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that any UFOs were involved. I think that's a little bit crazy. But
right.
It is interesting. But, there's so much weird stuff.
What if the truth is right in front of our faces, and the only reason we're not seeing it is because of all this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys
hear
the theory about the that there were several employees on the flight from a Texas-based company called Freescale Semiconductor?
Yeah.
And one of them kidnapped. But that's kind of bizarre because, if they were kidnapped and the plane was somewhere other than in the bottom of the ocean, no one's come forward and said, hey, we've got your employees kidnapped and we want, you know, $5 million.
You guys want to know what the craziest, actually, conspiracy of the whole thing I've heard is?
What?
Is that the plane never existed in the first place.
You know
that,
what?
That flight 777, it never doesn't even exist, and it was a made-up thing in order to get.
And we never landed on the moon.
Well, you know, one good theory, though, you know, that one guy came in and talked about is the fact that it shows that the plane went up to 4,000 something, you know, 40,000 or whatever feet, which is basically the perfect number in order to knock everybody out in the plane if they didn't put the. If they didn't put the oxygen going through, he was a pilot, so he knew. But if they didn't allow the oxygen to go through the masks in the back of the plane, and they rode at that altitude, he said it would take about 20 minutes. That would kill everybody in the back of the plane, and they could still run it through the cockpit. And because according to the data, the plane went up that high and then dropped down.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And Yeah. Well, you know, Dave, when you talked about that crazy theory that the plane never existed, you know, don't forget, you and I have talked to a couple people on Super Unknown about alternate universes. So.
Uh-oh.
that's what I was going to say, like Jason was saying. You mentioned time warp. You know, we talk about being able to get somewhere in an amount of time that isn't realistic, like driving from Reno to Nevada and getting there in 2 hours when we all know it's an 8-hour trip. You know what I mean? People say it happens. You know, we've all felt like we've gotten somewhere way faster than we should have. You know, you're kind of going, how did I get here this fast? It always takes me 3 hours. How did I get here in 2 hours? That's impossible because I was driving the same speed. You know,
there's a couple weird cases that are pretty well documented of stuff like that happening. And incidentally, one that I can think of was near the Bermuda Triangle, where a private pilot went into a really weird looking cloud and ended up like warping 300 or 400 miles. So, who knows?
Yeah, he ended up over Florida in a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, was that the one, Jason, where the guy was in a plane and he was flying over the Bermuda Triangle?
Somewhere around there, yeah. I don't remember the details, but he ran into some weird conditions, some weird clouds, and then he entered the clouds and something weird happened, and he had traversed, obviously a distance that wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah, that happened like in the 50s, and it is pretty well documented, and the guy still has the plane and everything, and, you know, to this day he cannot, you know, no one can explain how he, you know, traveled that distance, and he said when he was in the cloud, he sort of, you know, all of his controls went haywire. Of course, that was in the day when there wasn't digital stuff. It was dials and things like that, but everything went haywire, and he kind of actually almost thinks he went a little unconscious or something, like he doesn't remember.
I want to bring up one other theory that I saw that was actually very possible, but where it went, who knows? Because everyone's like, well, how could it travel over land and not be detected with all the satellites and all that kind of stuff and all the imagery? But the thing is, Malaysia and that area, that's the actually most highly air trafficked area in the world, meaning there's more planes, more flights in that area than anywhere else at one time. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The China and all that area right there, that is the most highly trafficked area. So one theory also is that he could have, being a skilled pilot or somebody, whoever, you know, did it, could have simply rode on top of somebody else's blip high above another plane, and it would have shown up as one blip. They said they would have never noticed because it would have maybe have been a little bit larger sometimes, or you know what I'm saying, than a normal plane.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't look out of the ordinary. It would just
that's
be,
totally feasible.
So maybe that's also why he went really high, or maybe why he went really low.
What do you think the likelihood that Chewbacca was involved?
That's pretty good, actually.
No, I don't think Chewbacca would do anything, you know, intentionally mean like that. He's got a good heart.
Yeah. You don't think so, huh?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you see another side of him that I don't, Dave.
I'm going to say, off the subject a little bit here. Well, way off the subject. Just now they're making another Beetlejuice.
No.
And people are angry. They're upset. And they've been sending basically hate mail because of the fact that they don't believe there should ever be another one. I thought that was a little interesting.
Well, is it going to have, who was the actor that was played Beetlejuice?
Keith, that's his name?
I can't remember.
He's in it. He's the guy getting
Michael Keaton.
Because they're saying he should lead good enough alone. I thought, well, all right, whatever. But anyway, do we got another topic here that you had?
Yeah, well, Jason, I'll go ahead. And so one of the stories that I pulled up was an injured man who spent 2 weeks in a coma believes that the experience has made him psychic. This is a recent story, although it was 4 years ago when he had a brush with death. He punctured one side of his head, blah, blah, blah. And he was 2 weeks in a coma, losing his memory and having to relearn how to walk and lots of other things. And then not long after that, he started to realize that something was different. He began to hear voices in his head that he claimed told him specific information about other people that he could not have known otherwise. So, you know, he kind of tried to deny it and, you know, just think that he was crazy. But as time went on, because this has been kind of a four-year span of when he was in the coma, he can talk to someone and all these things about them, details pop into his head. You know, kind of like how I would think a psychic would be.
Right.
And so, of course, the medical experts, you know, just kind of telling him he's crazy. He specifically kind of gets messages about people predicting illnesses and love and death. And I found this story interesting because I don't know if either of you have ever heard of Edgar Cayce.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone. You know, he left in the... Oh, gosh, I think he must have died in probably the late 40s. But he was a guy that he was a very, you know, hardcore Christian. And as a young man, he fell out of a tree and he hit his head and he was in a coma. And when he woke up, you know, it took a little while but for him to discover what he had because he was in denial. But he kind of was doing... had a similar ability where he could analyze what was wrong with someone, you know, if they had a sickness or an illness. And it was usually things like, you know, pretty serious things like, you know, I can't eat anything, you know, my stomach, you know, what's wrong with me. And then he could diagnose that they had an ulcer and they shouldn't eat this and they shouldn't eat that. And, you know, he became quite famous and there's even a foundation under his name. And he took, you know, as long as he lived, you know, he could never understand how that gift came to him. And at first he thought it was the devil. He denied it, you know, because he was a Christian. But then he realized that it was helping people. And then he would even go into trances and there's several books written by him that was, you know, given
message. I've heard of other cases too of what you're talking about, of people going into comas and coming out and having, you know, something, you know, some sort of gift. And, you know, in our reality, maybe in that coma and stuff like that, maybe coming out, maybe another part of their brain opens, you know, part of that left side that everyone talks about. Maybe it opens up that side of the brain somehow. I don't know. It's an interesting
topic.
That's
what I think. Yeah. I think that's true, Dave, because I'm a firm believer in psychic abilities. I don't believe that everybody who says they're psychic is psychic. But I do believe that it is, you know, something that some people are able to tap into. And, you know, because when you think about, and I don't speak about this extremely scientifically, but if you think about thought waves and things that, you know, we don't even know really the power of our brain and, you know, the collective energy that's really out there, you know, in the universe and being able to tap in, you know, to those vibes, if you will.
Right.
So.
Well, if I ever end up in a coma and I can come back with powers, I want to be like Firestarter. I want to be able to, like, you know.
But isn't that amazing?
I think I would pick more like Superman. Firestarter can only start fires, but I think Superman can start fires and can do all the other stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, because you have laser beam eyes.
Yeah, so I want it all, baby. I want it all. I don't want just one power. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm greedy, right?
So, yeah, that was kind of an interesting story. And, you know, the guy is hoping that, you know, he can, you know, help people. So, you know, kind of an interesting story there. And there was another story that I wanted to point out real quick, you guys. Jason, you'll love this one. And this is real recent, that in a small town in Belgium, Jalhay, suddenly a statue of the Virgin Mary is glowing day and night. And,
ooh,
you know, of course, it's been checked out, you know, did somebody, you know, put some lights around it, and supposedly not. So, you know, crowds are just, you know, flocking to this statue. And, you know, throughout the years, we've heard of this. Yeah, see? I mean, this is kind of on the spiritual side. You know, this goes into the spiritual arena because we've heard other stories throughout the years where, you know, the Virgin Mary's, you know, silhouette was projected onto a wall and no one knew how and things like that. But this is, in fact, a glowing statue that, you know, everyone is flocking to and praying and, you know, feeling that it's a miracle. Now, what... if it is a miracle, I don't know what the message would be behind that from a spiritual perspective.
You know, it's a good question. I mean, a statue glowing, that's one thing. The Virgin Mary showing up on a grilled cheese sandwich, now that's believable. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say the same thing, Dave.
I mean, come on, a statue, but a grilled cheese sandwich. Yeah. You know. Well, I guess if Golden Palace Casino buys a virgin statue, it's real because they buy everything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have heard a statue somewhere that had blood come from it, from its eyes. You know,
what?
That was a... Yeah, I'm sure you can find that on the web. And that was a case, you know, preachers went in and all sorts of stuff went in to try and figure out what was going on. But, yeah, there was blood coming from its eye, like its tears. And this was in a church somewhere over in the – yeah, that was over there in the Middle East or something like that. You know, it's interesting. Do you guys remember a while back, like, this is another story that only popped up once and then disappeared into the abyss, about them finding graves that were marked, you know, that had, like, Mary and all this kind of stuff that they had found. And then, you know, everybody said, and not everybody, but people were saying, well, if that's true, that would change the entire Bible. And then it just got kind of buried underneath the carpet.
Ah.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Nobody likes to change history, you know.
It's
like that movie Da Vinci Code, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this had, you know, and I don't even know if you'll ever be able to find the story. I think it was odd how it came on as a news article, a regular news. I'm talking CNN or one of these things, and then was never talked about ever again. I'm just thinking, well, that's it. Because, I mean, it was like Matthew and, it was like, you know, some people from the Bible, and they were going, it was like the Holy Grail of finds somewhere in Jerusalem or something like that. And then it just kind of disappeared into the abyss. It's like, well, what happened to that? And I don't know. It's interesting, just the religious stuff, you know.
You know, I've been to Jerusalem.
You have?
You what?
I've been to Jerusalem.
Oh, really?
It's an interesting place. It's a lot of people walking around with guns. The Israeli military, you know.
Yeah.
People walking around with Uzis everywhere. You go to the zoo or something like that, you know. You know, you got these soldiers with guns everywhere. It's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
All in the name of, Jason, all in the name of religion, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing like seeing a girl get handed a balloon in cotton.
I know, right? Yeah, I went to the Wailing Wall where everybody, they write these prayers and they stuff them in the cracks of the walls, of the wall there. It's an interesting place, that's for sure.
Definitely sounds like it.
Yeah.
It's not paranormal, but it's interesting.
Well, hey, I just wanted to remind everyone, if you're tuning in, thank you for tuning in to Paranormal Horizons here on Blog Talk Radio, where we like to talk about paranormal, spiritual, all kinds of crazy things every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. With us this evening, myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir, my co-host, Dave Harms, friend of Paranormal Horizons, is hanging out with us this evening from Central Oregon. It's great to talk with you again, Dave, on the radio, by the way.
Good talking to you, too.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has. So, Jason, what other kind of crazy stuff do you have going on your story list?
Well, I have some breaking news. The Winchester Mystery House will soon be open for overnight stays. And for those of you out there that aren't familiar with the Winchester House, it's a 160-room mansion built in the 1880s by the Winchester gun heiress, Sarah Winchester. She is believed the house was haunted by the ghosts of all the people that the Winchester firearms had killed. She was told by a psychic at one time that she needed to keep building her house to keep spirits at bay because it was believed by adding the rooms, it kept the spirits confused. And it's a really trippy place. I mean, there's stairwells that go to nowhere, doors that open to nothing. I've never been there. But it should be a pretty big deal that they're opening it up for overnight so that more paranormal investigators can get in there and conduct investigations.
Well,
I was going to say, have you ever thought, okay, you know, I'm always thinking, my gears are always turning as Patrice knows, and, people you know, and they're, I don't believe in ghosts or whatever, you know, I don't believe in spirits or whatever they want to say. To those people who don't believe in them, but yet they experience something, have you ever wondered what do they actually think it is then? Because I ran into somebody, I don't believe in ghosts, but I've had something real weird happen to me. Something flew across the counter once. But he never told me what he's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It makes me want. I mean, so I kind of tried to put myself in the place of somebody like that. Okay, let's pretend that after death, absolutely, you know, you pass on, you go somewhere else. You know, to someone like that, is that a demon? Is that an alternate reality where people are walking around between seconds that we're not? Or, you know, it just makes you wonder what a person like that thinks is going on then. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't. That situation is definitely weird. You know, I think it reflects a lot of the times, you know, back in the day when mediumship and seances were popular. I bet people were really influenced back then by these so-called psychics, you know, to do crazy stuff.
Yeah, but I can only imagine how many sort of, groups that, do the ghost busting, if you will want to try to get into Winchester House, because I don't know if they've allowed that investigations before, but it will be interesting. I've never visited that location before, but I know other folks that have, and they say it's just kind of bizarre, like what you described, like stairs leading to nowhere, and all kinds of crazy stuff. So I would definitely think that there was some spirits that may have landed themselves there, even if they hadn't when the mansion was being built. It just seems like a place with all the mystery going on around it that there would definitely be some activity.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Well, I think Northwest Paranormal should be one of the first there, Jason.
Something tells me it won't be cheap. I don't know. I'm sure there's going to be a pretty substantial rush when that goes live. I believe that they finally got approved for the permits to do that. I think it's probably going to be more, not really exclusive to investigations. I think it's going to be more like a hotel kind of deal, but I'm not positive on it.
Well, I know that like Ghost Hunters went there. Remember that?
Yep.
And they didn't find anything. They had no activity whatsoever. And then I think it was that. And then Ghost Adventures had activity. One or the other. One said, no, this place isn't haunted, and the other one said it was haunted. So I'm more leaning towards Zach saying it's haunted because everything's haunted to them. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So, Jason, I've got another story I wanted to point out, if I can switch gears for a minute. And, this is kind of a subject that, Jason, I know you've talked to some guests on the radio that talk about this, and Dave, I know you have, and I have, and I did some of my own, but this is another story of the afterlife, where a heart attack victim, his heart was stopped for 45 minutes, so he was dead, basically, but then he came back miraculously, and he, during that time when he was out for that 45 minutes, of course, he doesn't remember anything except he saw light and started walking towards the light. And again, we've heard this story over and over and over again, and the reason I wanted to bring it up is because of that, and it just kind of proves that I personally don't really know what's on the other side out there, but I'm always fascinated by it, and I know that there's something that is powerful and more powerful than us and that loves us, so hopefully when we die it's going to be good. But anyway, also, so when he started walking towards this white light when he was dead, he came across his mother-in-law who had recently passed away, and she was, looked beautiful, like the first day he had ever met her. She was happy. She actually grabbed hold of his arm and said, "It's not your time, go back." And then he also encountered his father-in-law, her husband, who had also passed away. And he said the same thing. He gave him a nice smile and said, "Go back, it's not your time." And so he did. Now, he doesn't have any miraculous story about being psychic or anything, but it's just another confirmation about that tunnel of white light that we see. And, Jason and Dave, you and I, both, all three of us, we interviewed Shirley Scott. I don't know if you remember her, but she's that wonderful psychic. She was also at the Ghost Conference last year, and, that's what happened to her. She went into she ate something it was one of those fake sugar products, and she had a reaction and basically died. and she saw her body and all the stuff, and obviously she came back, and she did gain psychic powers and is an animal communicator, and I just like her spirit and her energy, and I think that she's somebody that, you know, really has a story and is a very, for me, a real psychic.
Hey, Pat, I'm hearing an echo. Is there a speaker on, or?
Well, it's just like it was when I started, so I don't know what's going on. I can hear it, too. Let me see if I can fix it while you guys kind of chit-chat here for a minute.
Well, the big thing I came across your story, you're saying that he met his mother-in-law, and his mother-in-law told him to go back. But most people are trying to run from their mother-in-law. So it's kind of reverse action on that whole story.
No kidding.
So,
yeah,
you know, sometimes
it
depends.
What's
that?
I was just wondering if you were still hearing the echo.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, it would be like if the show's playing in the background for speakers and the mics kept picking it up.
Okay, I'll see if I can make a couple of comments.
Well, what's weird is I'm not hearing it, so kind of strange.
Oh. Oh. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But we've talked to a lot of people about
your psychic ability. You're hearing the show before it actually happens, Jason.
It's a glitch in the matrix. It's one of them wormholes.
That's right. You're a couple seconds ahead now.
See, now you're going to get me all tripped out. I'm going to get all nervous.
No. Oh, great.
I've slipped into between universes. But
quick, go find the airplane, Jason. Quick.
That would be a national hero if I could. But we've talked to a lot of people that have had these near-death experiences, and some of the stories are compelling. In fact, that there is a lot of scientists believe that they've, you know, it's just a chemical release or neurological activity that remains in the brain. And they've studied people at the time of death by having them hooked up to EEGs. And even when there is no detectable electrical activity, some people still report having these experiences. And one of the most notable person that has had one of these experiences, and the reason he's notable is he is an actual neurosurgeon who he tells of a pretty compelling near-death experience. And he swears up and down he no longer thinks it's, you know, brain activity, that it's an actual spiritual experience. So it's pretty interesting that, you know, a neurosurgeon would believe something like that.
Interesting. I put on my headset, Jason. I don't know if that's any better.
So what do you think makes up the difference of whether a person, you know, you got like people who are, you know, kids that know things that they shouldn't, as if they're reincarnated. What do you think makes up the difference, you know, if there was one? This is, you know, obviously we're speculating. We know nothing. But between a person who gets maybe stuck here, a person who gets put on, you know, passes on to somewhere else, or a person who ends up reincarnated?
Yeah, that's another interesting aspect, is having these children occasionally seem to know things, you know, particular things about people that they couldn't have possibly known about. But I always approach things as a skeptic, and because you never know what kind of information a baby will get in the womb. You know, maybe somebody's watching a documentary, but I don't know. There are some pretty compelling cases.
You had that one boy here in the United States who said he was born. I mean, he's picking a town and a country and all this stuff, and knows the name of these parents and this whole entire bit, and, you know, believes it so wholeheartedly for so long that his parents end up buying plane tickets so he can go home. They fly with him, and he actually directs them to his house. He had described the house to a T, including the fence, the, you know, the tire swing, the whole bit. okay, where the house was, the door, where the windows are, where his bedroom is. He described it to, and you can find this somewhere online, I'm sure, if you looked up Little Boy Reincarnated or something like that. But his parents, you know, they finally, you know, they bought plane tickets and said, okay, we're going to take you so you can, you know, we can put this thing to rest. Well, he dressed the taxi, you know, they drove all over the place, all over this island or wherever it was. I think it was in England or somewhere, Ireland or something like that. Well, it was near water because the house ended up, you know, they were starting to get kind of bummed out and stuff like that because the kid couldn't find it. And then all of a sudden, he you know, he was like, wait, you know, turn here, go here, do this. You know, he all of a sudden realized where he was at and took him straight to the house that he described, drew pictures of, everything. And that's, you know, that's a true story as far as, you know, as far as they say.
Right.
Like a documented case. And that's the one that always really sticks in my head, is this little boy being able to, you know, they even asked the neighbors as to who lived in the house, and it was the name of the people that, you know, and that they had a little boy who had died, like, you know, 10 years ago. Well, that was the same amount of time right before it was born. You know, basically the kid died, this kid was born in the United States.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, Dave, what I say about that is I definitely believe in past lives. And, again, that's a whole other show that we could just talk about, past lives. And I've heard other stories, especially about the younger kids, because they haven't closed off their third eye yet, if they will. They're still so young that they're able to remember. You know, not every kid, obviously, but this little boy could. And I think that we come back.
I mean, it just makes you wonder what makes him get a second chance instead of being stuck as some other, you know, a little boy stuck in a house reliving something or just roaming it, versus someone getting like a total second chance at coming back at life. It just makes you wonder. There's so many questions that obviously we won't know until we die.
Maybe everybody gets a second chance. We just don't remember it. I mean, for some reason, maybe just a select few of the kids actually have the memory. It's really a trippy thought if you think about it.
Well, and that's what I think. Yeah.
And then maybe we only get so many second chances, and then we do enter the spirit realm versus the physical, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, from what I've read and studied, we come back for lessons. You know, we come back to have different lessons with people that we've been with before. We play different roles, and there is karma involved also, where we are paying back karma. And there's lots of different theories on that. But I find it really fascinating. So,
well, can I come
back
as the son of a billionaire? Because I want to be spoiled and have everything I want, could ever want. Because this life I'm in right now, I must be paying for something, but it could be worse.
Well, I know when you're the son of the billionaire, can I be your wife?
Yeah.
I want to be your child, the illegitimate son. I'll be the red-headed stepchild. as long as you're
a
billionaire, I don't care.
You want to be a ginger?
Sure. Hook me up, bro.
Do gingers have souls?
Yes, they do.
That's a whole other show.
Gosh, it's already 10 minutes to the top of the hour, Jason and Dave. We're running out of time here. And just wanted to thank Dave Harms from Super Unknown for being on Paranormal Horizons with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason. And just kind of talking about things that are going on in the world. And Jason, did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about? Or do you want me to go ahead and talk about this third annual Oregon Ghost Conference coming up in April?
I didn't really have anything else to talk about. I did want to plug a few things at the end, but we still have plenty of time for that. So.
Okay, Dave. Anything else on your mind, Dave?
Not really. I was going to say, because you had mentioned about somebody, you know, these afterlife people dying and come back. There was something on. I wish I had my iPad because it just was on yesterday on CNN or one of the apps I have for news, and it talked about a guy who woke up in the morgue, and then 7 days later he died for real.
Oh really?
Yeah, from something else. I was like, man, that's bad luck. That's just bad luck, right? It was his time, obviously. He just came back.
I mean, was that the guy that went to the morgue, or they thought he was dead, and they took him to the morgue, and he woke up, and he said, "Hey, I'm not dead." And then
maybe,
he died.
Like I said, this just happened, so.
Okay. Sorry about my dog barking, you guys.
It's no problem.
All right. Well, now, hey, Dave, are you going to be able to make the conference this year?
When is the conference again?
April 11th through 13th in Oregon City, Oregon.
I'll have to see how things schedule out.
Yeah. I know weekends are really busy for you with the restaurant, but it's going to be another great event. I think it's just kind of getting bigger and bigger. They're doing it at the same location, which is the Pioneer Community Center in Oregon City. And it starts on a Friday afternoon, which is the 11th, and starts about 3 o'clock, and then they go into some speakers for that afternoon. There's a kind of a get-together, from like a welcome kind of event from 4:30 to 4:45 and so forth. It actually goes kind of late into the evening, because one of the neat things about this conference, for those of you that don't know about it, is they offer some actual walking tours and places that they will take you that are really haunted in Oregon City. Now, Oregon City is the oldest city in Oregon. It's the end of the trail.
Oregon Trail.
Thank you. Dave, I forgot the name of the state, yeah. And so there's lots of great history. And in the area where they have the event, there's all these really neat old buildings. And so there's an opportunity to do that as well. And then Saturday is a really full day. And in addition to the speakers, there's vendors that are selling neat stuff and other paranormal investigators that you can talk to. There's going to be speakers that talk on psychic information investigators, an anthropologist, a parapsychologist. There's a gal that's coming up from St. Helens who has the Klondike Restaurant, which is a haunted restaurant. So there's just all kinds of interesting stuff going on. And it's free. It doesn't even cost anything to go. And you can come, hear all these great speakers. And I think Jason and Dave, you guys will appreciate that one of the speakers this year is Jay Verbeer, from Ghost Mind. And, he has a really interesting story, because he got into paranormal by accident. You know, he was working a job, doing this Ghost Miners. And it was really a great series. I don't know if they're going to have another one. He might be able to talk about it. But he's a really approachable guy, really nice guy. So he's going to be there speaking, and just all kinds of other great speakers. So, Jason, I know you and I are going to
I would imagine that they will have another. The way they left they might find themselves in Arizona, but I imagine they'll have another one.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting series, and you know, some local boys, you know, took place here in Oregon, and all the guys, you know, local guys that have experience mining, and then Patrick and Kristen, who are the paranormal investigators. So really a great show.
Yes, agreeable.
Yeah, so Dave, you've got to tell your mom about it too, because she might want to go to the show.
Oh, she'll be there.
Okay, good. And there's accommodations. You can get a great rate for a hotel at the Best Western. It's called the Best Western River Shore Hotel. It's right on the river, and guess what? It's haunted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't get nothing. We were in the old part, weren't we? I don't remember.
Yeah, you were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your son thought that he had, and your mom had too.
Yeah.
And they stayed in it last year. So.
Good time.
Yeah, so that's kind of the skinny on that.
Cool.
I did think of one more thing I did want to mention.
All right.
Looks like we have a few minutes here. I was at a friend's house last week, and he told me a little bit of a ghost story, and I thought it was interesting. Out here in Gresham, Oregon, there's Gresham High School, and I wasn't aware about it, but he told me that Gresham High School was haunted, particularly the auditorium. And he told me a story of a bookkeeper that was working there one night. And she had left and come back the next day, and she noticed a particular set of numbers on her calculator. I imagine it was one of those large, I don't remember what they're called, but the big calculators. And so she was so curious.
Okay.
I don't remember what those are called. Anyway, so she noticed a series of numbers and couldn't figure it out. She didn't think that somebody would come in and work on the calculator. And so they actually had surveillance pictures of that work area, and they reviewed it because they were just so tripped out about it. And there was no activity around the calculator. What was interesting about it was they have a memorial in that school for a particular soldier. And I guess it was a former student, and he was deceased. Apparently he had died in combat. What they found out was the number on the calculator was his service number.
Oh.
How's that for weird?
That is really weird.
He was trying to speak out. He was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if that doesn't mean anything about the paranormal, I don't know what.
It's kind of weird how, usually it is the auditorium of, I know Thurston High in, down in Springfield, I think somebody had died from up above from the lights, had dropped down from, what do you call those? The I can't even remember, but you know what I'm talking about. and they report seeing the boy all the time in that gym now.
Wow. Interesting.
Huh. Well, yeah. If I die, I don't want to haunt a school. Making that sound like...
No, of all, that's like haunting the IRS. Why do you want to go there?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Oh,
it just doesn't seem real.
All
right,
well, everybody, I think this is probably just about the end of our paranormal episode here on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, where you never know what we're going to talk about here on Paranormal Horizons. All kinds of interesting stuff going on in the world. And Dave Harms, we can't thank you enough for checking in with us this evening. It's always so great to talk with you. And hopefully we're going to see you in Oregon City at the Ghost Conference.
Well, I hope so. Are you guys getting a booth?
No, we're just going to kind of mingle.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
We got some things we're working on for the future for Paranormal Horizons, and so we kind of want to mingle and talk to people and like that.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it was good talking to you both. Nice talking to you, Jason. It's been definitely a while talking to you. So.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming on. And you know, if you ever get an inkling to do another paranormal parody, we are always open for that because it's hilarious.
I will inkle.
We need that.
We have, you know what, you guys, we have to do another show.
You what?
And, we've got to do another paranormal comedy game.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, you guys just let me know. I've got a million characters built into me. That's what insane people, you know. There's a lot of people inside of me.
And we know a lot of crazy people, too. So.
Excellent. And all of them are me, just different me? No, just kidding.
Yeah. All right, Dave, have a great evening, and we'll see you soon.
All right, thanks, talk to you both later.
All right, Jason, that was some great conversation. I really enjoyed talking about all of those different subjects. And, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, from a heartfelt position, I really do hope they find what happened to that darn plane in Malaysia, because there's so many people out there that had loved ones on the plane that are just, you know, if it was me, I would want to know, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm still hoping that there is just an outside chance that, you know, the plane landed somewhere for some strange, odd reason. But I think that the reality is I don't know. It would be a really stretch for it to turn out okay. But I do hope that it does turn out okay.
I know. I agree with you. It's like there's always this part in my mind that says, well, why couldn't they just be on one of those remote islands and they landed somehow in the jungle and they're there and they're, you know, they're surviving and they're just waiting for someone to save them, you know, like a movie.
Yeah, so, like Gilligan's Island, but with an airplane.
The
Boeing 777 is really a mammoth aircraft.
It is. I know.
It's not a regional commuter jet, so.
No, it's not.
It should be able to be found, and it is unusual, I would say, that they haven't found debris. Although you're talking about thousands of square miles, but I hope that there gets closure some way or the other. And I think eventually there will be. I think eventually something will be found. And if something's never found, then maybe there is something paranormal because something should be debris. You know, it's just really weird. Yeah.
It's very strange. And I know they've done a good job. I know the Malaysian government got a lot of, or the airlines got a lot of, you know, attacks about, oh, why didn't they investigate the pilots sooner and things like that. But I think they just thought they were going to find something, like you said, and now they're looking at every possibility. But even doing that, they may never know. They don't know that it was a pilot that, you know, shut off the systems and turned the plane around. It could have been, you know, tonight I was talking to somebody and they said, well, it could have been a hijacker with a gun in his hand. Well, it's hard to get guns on planes right now. But, I mean, who knows? We just don't know. So.
Yeah, there was nothing to indicate that there's no overt indication that the pilots could be involved outside of the fact that the systems were shut off.
Yeah.
The guy had a flight simulator in his home, a pretty elaborate one, but that doesn't mean anything.
I don't think it does.
The people that know him, you know, swear up and down the pilot's character and the co-pilot that they were good people, happy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with people, you never know. When somebody goes out and commits a horrific act, most of the time people come back and say, I never saw it coming. They were so normal. A few times people are like, yeah, the guy's wacko. But I don't know. It's just bizarre.
Although, usually, though, when somebody does that, when they say, oh, they were so normal, but if you really drill down, often they did have something going on, whether it was a bad relationship or financial problems or something like that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're speculating now. You know, I feel like we're on CNN right now. You know, we're just trying to analyze this because we just don't know. And we know from, you know, past history, like there was a flight a few years ago in California coming from Mexico, landing in San Francisco, and it was an employee that was on the flight, and he was disgruntled about something, and this was kind of before, actually it was quite a few years ago, Jason, and it was before we have all the strict protocol that we have now, so it was before 9/11, but he had a gun. And he broke into the cockpit. I think the pilot, it was a girlfriend thing. And so he had been, what they pieced together, I mean, he shot the pilots and the plane crashed into the ocean and killed everyone. But they were able to piece that together that he was, and I guess he had left some sort of note. But anyway, who knows?
Do you want to hear my theory? I have a theory.
Yeah. I do.
And it just came to me right now.
Okay,
and I'm probably completely wrong. But my theory is, for whatever reason, there was a decompression of the plane and or the oxygen system failed. And due to hypoxia, lack of oxygen, the pilots accidentally, you know, when you're deprived of oxygen, you can't think clearly before you pass out, and we're clicking stuff, not sure what's going on because they were hypoxic, and eventually passed out. That would be my theory. So we'll see.
Well, you know,
did you click that?
I did, because I wanted to put some kind of sound there, and that sounded the best, but you know, Jason, that's interesting, though, because there's been a couple of experts that have been sort of few and far between all the other speculation, and they've said that. They said, you know, there could have just been a malfunction, and it may not have had anything to do with a person. It could have been the plane malfunctioning, and I kind of was leaning towards that, too, so, yeah.
Yeah, a malfunction, it would make sense with oxygen deprivation. The plane was jumping around altitudes, and to me, that I'm not an expert, trust me, but it just kind of makes sense to me. But, you know, those planes are so advanced. Every system on those airplanes has, you know, it's like built-in redundancy that, you know, the backups have backups,
right.
And those backups have backups. So,
right.
You know.
Who knows?
Well, I hope we find out.
I sure do, too. So, well, listen, great chatting with you this evening, and I look forward to a show next week.
Yes, we'll definitely do one next week.
Yeah, we don't have anybody lined up, but you never know who's going to show up on Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also, just as a reminder, if you just tuned in late, you can get the on-demand episodes in a day or so on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to all the episodes, not just this one as well. So don't forget about that.
Yep, and I wanted to throw a couple plugs out there to check out our other friends' shows. We have Aaron and Elise doing Paranormal Connections, also on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's Wednesdays at 8 p.m. And you can also check out Beyond the Edge of Reality with Evan Jensen. And he has a variety of shows as well. And that is also on Blog Talk Radio. And
that's
also
right.
Check out the NW Paranormal Facebook page and the Paranormal Horizons Facebook page. And, yeah, all the Facebook. We need to get some love on the social networking.
Absolutely. Yeah, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. Check us out. And, yeah, we've got some future things we're working on, so stay tuned for updates on that.
Yes, we're all very tight-lipped. So.
Yes, until we know for sure. All right.
Yes.
Well, this is Jason. Great to chat with you this evening. And, hey, everybody out there, take care of each other and take care of your four-legged critters. I'm Pat Wright.
And I'm Jason O'Peter.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason O'Fear. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.